Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of Chat OMP, where myself, William Peake, the Global Managing Partner of Harneys, chats to one of our office managing partners in one of our various offices. This is the fourth episode, which means that it has been an absolute roaring success. And I'm absolutely delighted to have Rachel Graham on this month's episode. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, William. How are you?
I am excellent, thank you for asking. So I'm really looking forward to this episode because obviously you and I know each other very well. So it should be good fun. And I'm going to start with the usual question, Rachel, of how did you end up offshore and how did you end up working with Harneys?
Well, we have to go back quite a long way for me to answer this question. I spent the very last seat of my articles at a London law firm in their Hong Kong office.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to be there during the period over handover, which was really interesting. And then also lucky enough to stay on a bit after that. And after my time in Hong Kong, I was in Hong Kong for about 2.5 years, I decided that as I was halfway around the world, I might as well go a little bit further and carry on being a lawyer. So I went down to Sydney in Australia mm-hmm. to work for one of the big Sydney law firms. And never to miss an opportunity for a world event, I was there for the Sydney Olympics. So went down there for a few years and then ended up coming back with that law firm back to London and was working in a smallish London office, not dissimilar in size to how Harneys was when I first came to London, mm-hmm. but worked with them for a little while and then decided that working in London didn't quite cut the mustard with my wanderlust of going and working
yeah.
in different countries. And I'd picked up some pals along the way who were actually working in the Caribbean. So I decided to head out there. So I spent my first 3 years out in BVI with one of our competitors. And while I was out there, decided that Harneys was the type of firm that I wanted to join. It very much had a focus on black letter law, and it had a number of people who had been there for a long time and had been there since the beginning of time in terms of the International Business Companies Act, which precursored mm-hmm. where we are now. So some real experts in the field. And I've always been someone who's been quite aware of what I don't know. So I thought it'd be a good idea to learn off those who did know. So I spent 4 years out in the BVI and then had the opportunity to come back to our London office. So I've been in our London office since 2008, then had the privilege of being asked to be office managing partner in 2022.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously, I mean, you're extremely well known as a leading BVI transactional lawyer based in London and somebody who has that years of experience actually on the ground in the BVI. And then you moved into being the office managing partner. How's that transition been for you? And I suppose, what does it mean for you to be an office managing partner?
I think it came at a really interesting time for me because I am quite fascinated by business management, business strategy, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. And having been in London, practiced, I still practice now, but not as much as I used to, it gives you an insight into the strategic thinking behind a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And it encourages you to think wider than your own practice. As a result of which, I know a lot more about what our dispute lawyers do in mm-hmm. London, what John O'Driscoll's team does. I know a lot more about Aki Korsani Hossain's regulatory and tax practice. Mm-hmm. I know what our funds lawyers and our private wealth lawyers do. So I think it allows you to draw all the strands together of what our firm is about. And I think we're really lucky in London that we cover all of the practice areas, nearly all of the jurisdictions that we offer, all in one smallish office. So I think it gives you a flavour of every part of the firm in a way, in one place. But the management role itself, I'm really enjoying because it's more people focused, but internal people focused, as opposed to looking after clients. You know, you spend many years as a transactional lawyer looking after clients, meeting their needs. And it's quite interesting to take a step back and apply that knowledge, that experience internally, and see how other people deal with the same challenges. And I think it's just opened my eyes to the diversity of people who come into law, and actually the diversity of people that we have at Harneys. And I think that makes for a richer office environment. And, you know, some of the banter that we have is really quite entertaining, because people, A, they come from different parts of the world, but they also just, we have different ages, we have different cultures. It's fascinating, I think. People are fascinating.
Yeah, oh, that's another episode for a podcast. People are fascinating to discuss. I suppose you're in a really unique position to comment on why London remains such an important jurisdiction for all offshore firms and Harneys in particular. Can you speak a little bit just to that? Because I think it's always one of the challenges when I worked in our London office around people assuming that, you know, we practice English law, you're based in London, you're a bunch of lawyers. Do you want to just talk to that kind of offshore element and its importance?
London's obviously the financial hub, or one of the financial hubs in the world, and it's where a lot of our clients are based or want to be, whether they have their businesses there or perhaps they even just have properties here. And I think because of that, there are so many opportunities for offshore lawyers who are dealing with international companies, international people, international businesses. And offshore actually is the link, is the way in which people from all around the world can do business together, using a common law system, whether it's BVI, Cayman, Anguilla, or Cyprus. And they can use that law, that means of commerce, in one place. And I think for us in London, we sit in the centre of our network. We can look east to our offices in Hong Kong, Shanghai, Singapore, Cyprus, and we can look west to our Caribbean offices and those in Bermuda as well. And I think it's just, you are really in the hub. You're in the middle. There's usually someone awake in London if someone in one of the other offices isn't. So you provide that link to all of those services that we offer.
It's really interesting to get your insights on that. Now, each episode, we ask our office managing partner to give us some advice for a junior lawyer. What would that be from you?
Now, this is some advice that was given to me many moons ago, but I think it's still true. Two things. Firstly, don't be afraid to ask the obvious question. We've all sat, well, in the old days, we've sat around conference tables. These days, we're quite often on Zoom meetings where someone is speaking and literally nobody around the table really understands what they are talking about.
It's usually when I'm speaking.
But nobody is willing to ask what they feel might be a stupid question. I mean, obviously, there's a time and a place and that kind of thing. But do take the opportunity, if it's offline or after a call, just to make sure that you do understand what was being discussed. Mm-hmm. The other point I always make to people is always do your research before presenting a piece of work to someone. Mm-hmm. Make sure you are putting your best foot forward. You've read the law that's relevant to the question that you've been asked. There's nothing more frustrating than reading somebody's work and realizing immediately that they actually haven't looked at the law.
Yeah.
So it's look at the law, look at the act, do what you can before you present, I think.
Yeah, that's very sound advice. And our last question is always, if you were hosting dinner party, who would you invite? What three guests would be going round to Chateau Graham for dinner?
Well, the way I've looked at this, I've picked someone that covers each of three sort of areas of interest for me. One is technology, although I do say I think most of it is passing me by now. Travel. And the third is food. So the first person is a chap called Sir Gordon Radley, who actually is my maternal grandfather. And during the war, he headed up a research branch station at Dollis Hill. Mm-hmm. And was responsible for a lot of the war effort around communications. So he was the person that people like Tommy Flowers and the other people who worked at Bletchley Park reported to. And just a few of the things that he or his team were responsible for are really fascinating in today's world. And he actually died 6 months after I was born. And so I was never able to have conversation with him. But in 2019, his war diaries were declassified. So you can read them and see what he was actually involved in, which is really interesting. And just a couple of the things he was involved in were Colossus, which was the precursor to the Enigma machines and also modern day computers. He helped develop a 32-way conference system for Bomber Command, which is essentially what we see every day on Zoom, where lots of people in different places could talk to each other. Mini microphones and headphones, like we're using at the moment, listening devices, all of those sorts of things. So lots of stuff.
Lots to be grateful for your grandfather for.
Which I just think would be absolutely fascinating. Transatlantic cables, etc. Lots of things. And his last sort of important position before he retired, he was actually Director General of the Post Office. So I just think there'd be lots of things to talk to him about, which would be kind of interesting.
Definitely.
The second person is David Livingston, who's a great adventurer and explorer who spent a lot of time in Africa and went to Victoria Falls. He travelled the length of and mapped the length of Zambezi. And I went to Victoria Falls many, many years ago. And I can only imagine what it must have been like to be one of the first people to come across those. I think it would be incredible. And I just think he'd have some brilliant stories of travel and adventure.
Definitely.
And the third person is a chef, Angela Hartnett, who I just love her food. I love her approach. She's into rustic, sort of no-nonsense Italian food. And I just think she would be fascinating to chat to as well. And I think she always sounds like she has an interest in people. So I think she'd find the other two guests interesting as well.
Yeah, Murano is one of my favourite restaurants. So Angela partnered with Ben Fan. Are you going to get her to do the cooking? No, Rachel, are you going to?
Of course.
Okay, excellent. What a wonderful, what a wonderful Rita, thank you so much for that whistle stop tour through your career and what's important to you, because I think that's definitely what we're trying to draw out during these episodes of Chat OMP. So thank you very much for that. Very much appreciated.
Thanks very much, William.